2014, the year of victory over death and the manifestation of love. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the special guest host of today's podcast, Keith Axum.
Well, hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome the subscribers, the listeners, the first-time listeners, and the partners. Keith Axum here, History with God Ministries, flying solo. I had a question from back in the summer, in August, by Jimmy Smith, who wrote in and said he would like me to answer the questions, why do bad things happen to good people? And that's a great question, Jimmy. That's something that really gets into the heart of people's concept of religion, who we think God is, and generally people's worldview of what is happening out there. There's some things in here that are kind of tough. You need to take off your legalistic glasses, really, to hear this. But it is a world in which God had set things up a certain way. So we have to look at what happened. We have to look at what God's intention was. We have to look at what man did. And we have to look at God's whole plan for man, for salvation, and for things moving forward. It was always in God's plan for good things to happen to people, but man kind of messed up. So when we look back to the garden, it was an idyllic existence. Man had everything set up for him. Everything was there. It was a beautiful existence. All the needs were met. Adam and Eve didn't even have any such thing as a need. Everyone knows the story. Adam and Eve sinned. They ate of the tree that they shouldn't have eaten of, and as a result, that was the fall, and that created the curse. And you can look that up in Genesis 3:14-16. So man was cursed, and due to the fall, it gave the devil legal rights to work in the world. Now, God's whole plan was to get man out of that situation, and along comes the New covenant. You know, we had the old covenant, the religious system, the do's and don'ts. Do this, and something is going to happen. And if it's a good thing, something good will happen. If it's a bad thing, something bad will happen. And it was a whole system of works. Now we come along to the new covenant with Jesus and him taking away that curse by hanging on a tree, Galatians 3:13, and giving us the blessing of Abraham. That is where we are now, especially if you're a believer and you have to be a believer to have the curse removed. If you're not a believer, you are not going to have the blessings that we're speaking of here. So God had a great plan. Man messed it up. If it hadn't have been Adam and Eve, it'd be you and me. But God's plan was to bless man, and he wound up doing it through Jesus. Bad things happening to good people. Now, when we think of good people, we think of people going to church, people who give their tithes and offerings, people who are nice to their fellow man, good people. But we have to look at who is good and what's that all about? What is the concept of good in man? Let's look at what happened with Jesus. Now, in Luke 18:18-19, the ruler came along and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And what did Jesus say in Luke 18:19? "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." We know Jesus is good. Jesus took the penalty on the cross, did everything for us so that we may have salvation, which is preservation, healing, deliverance, and soundness, the PhDs, I like to call them. And because of that, man was redeemed. But Jesus was making a point here that, in essence, man is not good. God is love. Jesus is love. God the Father is love. Jesus had every embodiment of the Father in the natural. But I think the point he was trying to make is that man is not good. In fact, there is nothing good in man apart from Jesus. There's nothing good in any of us. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Jesus in us is good. Apart from Jesus, we're not good. If you're not saved, you have nothing good in you. And those of us who are saved, it's the Jesus in us that is good. There's nothing else good there. When we think of bad things happening to good people, it's not our works that make us good. You can do good things. God has prepared good works beforehand that you should walk in them. But we don't have to do good works to be good if Jesus is in us. Jesus is in us, we're good, but it's only the Jesus that's in us that makes us good. Apart from that, there is nothing good. Now we come along and we think of a bad thing happening to a good person. In our mind, again, we look at a good person and we think, oh, they're a churchgoer, they're this, they're that. They do good things, so they're good people. Why did something bad happen to a good person? Why did so-and-so get sick? Why is so-and-so really struggling financially? Why did June get hit by a car? Why did Bill go bankrupt? You can just keep going. And are these things that God desires? Because really, the whole thing points back to God. That we even have to ask the question points back to God. And it said, it's like God is allowing this to happen. Because God is overall. He's sovereign, so he's allowing this to happen. Well, that gets into a whole nother kettle of worms. I would say that God does not allow things to happen. God is sovereign. He's above all. But he's not up there pulling the marionette strings. He's involved in our lives, but he's not controlling them. He has given us the authority. It almost comes back to, is God good? If bad things happen to quote-unquote good people, then is God good? That's really the question. This is almost pointing the finger at God and saying, God, you're really not good. You're not who you say you are. And we know God is good. I mean, Jesus took the sins of the world upon himself. This was God's plan of redemption from the beginning. God knew that man would fail, and he provided a way that we never could have provided for ourselves. He provided a way out, and Jesus fulfilled that, and he took the sins of the world on and suffered in pain unimaginable, was separated from the Father, so that we might be redeemed, we might be the right to be children of God, that we can have salvation, those things mentioned before. Nevertheless, it's a fallen world, but God does not approve of the things that are happening. The devil approves of them, but God does not approve of evil things happening to people. He's above all, he's sovereign, but he has given us the authority in the earth. So does God sanction these things when bad things happen? When somebody gets sick, when somebody has, you know, major life issue, something with finances, whatever, all the things that typically people have. So does God allow it? People would say God allows it. I would say God doesn't allow it. I would say God is in charge, but he's not in control. He put us in control. We are the ones who are determining what happens to us. I mean, if you look at the things that have happened in history, you don't even have to look at somebody's situation right now or something that they're going through. Look throughout history. What about Hitler? I mean, did God approve of Hitler? Well, it happened. Well, you can say God let it happen. Did God approve of Stalin? Did God order the bubonic plague? You know, did God approve of these things? I mean, the obvious answer is no. Some people might not say it's so obvious because, well, God was still above all and these things happen. Can't God do anything? Yeah, God can do anything, but he put us in control and he gave us his word to live by and he gave us authority. So God's word in the end is true, regardless of how things look in the natural. And that is a critical place that we have to go to look at. God exalts his word even above his name. That's Psalm 138:2. Your name and your word are exalted above all things. And I love Romans 3:4. Let God be true and every man a liar. So God's word is true regardless of how things look in the natural, regardless of our situation. God gave man authority over his situation. He freely gave it, and it happened through Jesus. It's a new covenant principle. We now have authority. Let's look at Matthew 10:1. And this was even before Jesus went on into glory. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Are we followers of Jesus? Yes. I hope you're a follower of Jesus. You have authority. Let's look at Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we might ask or think, according to the power that works within us. God's power working in us. He gave us the authority to use that power. Matthew 14:16, but Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And this was the situation with the loaves and the fishes where the disciples said, hey, we've got to send these people away because we don't have any food here. And he said, you give them something to eat. And I actually believe that the disciples were the ones who did the miracle there and made the food multiply. God gave us authority. It's up to us to know what that authority is and to use that authority that he gave to us so that we can go out into this world, which is carnal, but we can use the spiritual authority given to us to walk forward, to navigate through the world, and to walk in the operation of the blessing. The blessing is always with us, whether we see it or not, regardless of circumstances. We walk in the carnal world, and our carnal senses are always telling us things. You know, we see, taste, smell, hear, and feel things. Those are our senses. But those are contrary, often, to the Word. Because the Word says, you're healed. The Word says, you're blessed. The Word says, you're righteous. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the carnal world, which is really the devil's, will tell you other things. It's really when we get sick, when things go wrong, we tend to hold these things against God, which is really a slap in the face to Jesus because he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And 2,000 years ago, he did all the healings. He did everything he was going to do. And now it's up to us to take our authority and walk in that. So we have to know what our privileges are. We have to know what our benefits are. It says in Psalm 103, know what your benefits are. When we go to work for somebody, we know what our benefits are. We know how many days we get off. We know what the health plan is. We know the whole deal. And the Lord says not to forget your benefits because it's not about the carnal world. It's about the Word. The Word is final authority. Was Jesus a healer? Jesus healed everybody that came to him. Now, people will talk about Paul. That's a whole nother subject. Paul was buffeted by a messenger from Satan. It was not that he wasn't healed. Paul was healed. He had a messenger from Satan harassing him. And that's one that we have to go into another time. But that's the one that people like to point to. Well, look at Paul. Look at Paul. Paul was fine. Paul was healed. And this messenger from Satan was trying to take him out. But Jesus healed all that came to him. We have to look at what the Word says about that. There are plenty of healing scriptures. There's plenty of financial scriptures that we can look at, that we can recite, that we can speak, that we can get into our spirit. And when the going gets tough, Satan comes and tries to harass you, we've got the Word to stand on. I mean, just a few healing. Psalm 103:3, God heals all your diseases. Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says the same thing. So, and there's a lot of scriptures that we can go on. Just a couple financial scriptures, Philippians 4:19, all your needs are met. 2 Corinthians 8:9, he became poor that you might become rich. Psalm 23:1, you shall not want. Psalm 35:27, God delights in the prosperity of a servant. So there's a lot of scripture that we can fall back on. Now, were these things written for us? Are these things in there accidentally? Like maybe it was a bad translation. God really doesn't delight in the prosperity of his servant. Jesus stuttered when he said, you give them something to eat. God's Word always remains. God's Word is the final authority. Now you come along and you start to not feel well, or you see somebody who, let's give a worst case scenario, looked like a good person and they weren't healed and they went off to be with the Lord, and people will get religious. Well, God, you know, needed Aunt Betty in heaven or whatever. God doesn't need anybody in heaven with him. God is just fine. God created us to fellowship. He loves to fellowship with the saints, the believers, but he doesn't need anybody in heaven. He's not taking somebody and saying, okay, you're sick. Now you're going to pass because I want you to be in heaven with me. That's not a God of love. That's not God's plan. People will have problems in the world because they don't really know what their inheritance is. If you know the word, and the word is true regardless of what our senses say, and you take the word and you get it into your spirit and you get it into your soul, then you become one with the word. And those things in the spirit, we bring into the soulish realm. And then we become, in a sense, protected by the word. We don't have to be sick. We don't need to be sick. We don't need to die young. We don't need to be broke. If those things are happening, then what we see in the natural is not lining up in the word. And generally, it's because we have not taken those things that God says and made them ours. So it comes back to reading the word, meditating on the word, renewing our mind, knowing what God says about our situation, knowing what God says about us, knowing what Jesus did so that we could be blessed. And by the way, I'm not saying I've arrived with this stuff, but I've certainly left. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. And unless you take the word for what it is and just keep going over and speaking and believing what God says, that when Satan comes and knocks on your door and says you got cancer, then you tend to cave. Well, we are healed, whether we believe it or not. But if we choose not to believe, then you know God gave us that authority, so Jesus isn't going to stand up at the right hand now and say, hey, that person's healed. No, we are healed 2,000 years ago. God gave us that authority over whatever the situation is. Mark 11:23, he speaks to the mountain, says, you be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is true, he'll have what he says. So there is a principle there. Now, why did Jesus say it? Did he just throw it in there? Was it kind of a random thought? No, I don't think so. These things are important to us as believers. We got to eat, sleep, drink the word. We got to believe the word. We got to know it more than we know our names, more than we know our family members. And that's when things start to go wrong or look wrong. We can deny it. We can take our authority over the situation. And by and large, unfortunately, the church is just as sick and tired and broke as the world is. And these things ought not to be. And these are, quote unquote, good people. So when you say, why did such and such happen to, you know, Aunt Betty, who is a good person, a churchgoer? Well, one, I don't know her situation. I don't know what anybody's situation is. I mean, things are not always what they appear to be. Now, you can have a situation where it just looks like everything is going right. With this person, they're speaking right, they're in the word, they believe right, and still bad things are happening, or maybe that person passes away or whatever. In the end, we don't know where they were really. We don't know what their heart was in the end. We don't know what their spirit was telling them in the end. Some of these people may want to go home. We really don't know. We don't have an answer for every single thing. But I can tell you, it's not God's desire that any should perish, even in the natural. I mean, he promises us a long life. That is not his thing. Something bad happening to somebody good, to one of his children, that's just not right. Now, sometimes we fall, and sometimes we give the devil an opening because we're slaves to whom we obey, either whether it's God or the devil. And sometimes we can give ourselves over to the devil just by going through willful sin in the natural. For that type of thing, yeah, we can certainly give that open door. So you want to slam that door shut, you want to repent, you want to turn from that, whatever that is. You don't want to walk in acknowledged sin, like premeditated sin. So that sometimes could be a problem. There's other things that can creep in there. But does God allow these things? Is God saying so-and-so is going to get sick because then I can get somebody else saved through that? or I can use this person's sickness, or I can use this person's financial brokenness, and I can bless someone else through that. No, that's not God. God does not do those things. The devil will use those kinds of situations to say, see, he doesn't really love you, and he's not who he says he is. And of course, he's the liar, and the father lies, so he's the one that will lie to people. And if he can get your attention onto God in such a way that is not favorable, where you maybe don't believe God, or you think that God is putting you through something unnecessarily, you know, they're all lies. And he can continue to lie, and it's all carnal stuff. And that's where we have to just go back to the Word and believe what the Word says. Again, can't emphasize that enough. The Word has final authority. It's not about what our carnal mind shows us, the things that appear to be, but the Word is true. And in the end, you know, we don't have to buy into those things. We don't have to look at things in the natural and say, this is all there is, because this isn't all there is. And we need, as believers, to take our authority and walk in that. Use your authority over unclean spirits, heal every kind of disease, every kind of sickness, to walk in the blessing and have the abundant life that God wanted you to have. Jimmy, thank you very much for the question. I hope that helped to clean some things up for some people. And really, it just comes back to the Word. You put the Word first. Listener, I think somebody probably is listening to this and actually got healed here. So if you got healed just from listening to this, send us a message, because we certainly want to hear about that. We want to hear those testimonies. And just to recap here, know that God isn't in charge, but we are in control. He put us in control. When I first heard this some years back, it really kind of, it doesn't feel good. I remember when my wife Teresa and I first heard about this, and it was like, you mean God's not allowing all these things to happen for some greater good? And I actually have some responsibility over my financial condition, over sicknesses and all these kinds of things. And one thing is I want you to get now is not to condemn yourself. If this is the first time you've heard this, don't condemn yourself, because, you know, the devil can creep in there as well, where you think maybe you should know this stuff. But by and large, the things that we know, we've heard from somebody who we respect. But God can take something new, and maybe you're hearing this for the first time, and he'll give you a revelation on it. What I'm telling you then can become your revelation. But don't knock yourself down and just say, wow, I can't believe this. You know, I'm in this shape in the world. I'm in this bad condition, and I've allowed this to happen. Well, some of that is somewhat true, but you don't know what you don't know. Now that you do know, now use that authority. Use your words. Confess. Focus on those scriptures, like Psalm 103 says, know your benefits. And don't get down on yourself, but just move forward. It's a real easy thing to get down on yourself over these things. But now that you know how God looks at it, and now that you know that Jesus did everything for you, so that now you can take that authority and just move forward in it.
So remember that we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.